we are obliged to place a standby letter of credit. We are obliged to place a letter of standby letter of credit as a condition precedent. The standby letter of credit was issued, indeed, against our ministry's budget by Bank of Ghana, confirmed by JP Morgan. Let me make a difference. A standby letter of credit is not a payment instrument. It's a security instrument. An LC is a payment instrument. And that is why you cannot discount a standby letter of credit, but you can discount an LC. So that when I say that no payment has been made, that is absolutely... Put it off.
Just walk out.
Walk out and do it, please. So that is the first issue. When you place a standby letter of credit, it is no payment. The only time you can draw down on a standby letter of credit is when payment, in this particular case, the arrangement is that when the plant start producing, it will be billed at the end of the month and we have a certain number of days to pay. It is only when VRA does not pay that they can draw down on the standby. So that is the first issue that I thought one needed to clear. The issue of tax exemption also needs to be addressed. With all power plants, especially increasingly with the new ones, we are moving to tax waivers rather than tax exemptions. We've had a situation in this country where those generalized tax exemptions have been abused. Their guests come into the country, they go to eat in hotels, and you'll be surprised that they compile these receipts and go to GRA, that they are exempted from taxes, even the VATs that we pay at hotels. So there's a movement towards tax waivers, and where exemptions have to be granted, they are very specific, listed. In the AMERI project, AMERI is probably part of the reason that we've had this situation, is that it's a unique project that we have undertaken in the power sector. Ordinarily, either a straightforward IPP or a VRE procured facility. But this is a build, own, operate, and transfer plan. So before year five, the ownership of the plant will still be in the name of AMERI. After year five, the plant, the ownership is transferred to VRA for 0 pesos or 0 cents. And that is because with the document we took to Parliament, if we were renting, the annual rental would have come to 780. Okay. 780. But, please, not water. Tell them to get me the file on the document we put to Parliament, the additional information that has the... Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, it's here. If we went for the rental option, yes, the rental per unit would have been 785,000. If we went for the BOT option, the rental per unit came to 850,000. And the reason is that a premium had been paid, put on the BOT option that will enable us to pay for the plant in 5 years. If we did a straightforward rental at 785,000, at the end of 5 years, they take the equipment and go back. But at 850, we will not only be paying for the energy charge, but we are also paying a premium on ownership. This is reflected in the PURC tariff for the plant. For year 1 to 5, the tariff is 14.58 cents per kilowatt hour. Okay. From year 6 to 20, the tariff reduces to 10.1 cents per kilowatt hour. I don't have the exact, so I'm leaving out the decimal behind this. And the reason, if you look at the PURC tariff breakdown, is that from year 1 to 5, there's a capital recovery charge. Mm-hmm. From year 6 to 20, the capital recovery charge is zero. Currently, the average tariff for our thermal plant, they're averaging between 13 to 14 cents. And so even for year 1 to 5, the tariff falls within the existing regime. From year 6, this will be the cheapest thermal plant in Ghana. Yeah.
Just as a matter of protocol, would you prefer that you finish delivering and we ask questions, or would you like us to interject as you go along in order to clarify certain issues, because some things might not be too easy to remember at the end of the day? And also, where you refer to any additional documents which we are not privy to, is it possible we can have a copy so we can refer to it as you discuss it, so that we will be better informed?
To the first question, yes, you can interject as we go along. Okay. To the second question, all these documents are already public documents.
Including the spreadsheets that you're holding?
Yes, we submitted this to Parliament.
Was it part of the contract papers? Because we haven't got that document.
You see, Parliament's work is done essentially through committees.
Sure.
There is a letter when we met the Committee on Mines and Energy. Mm-hmm. The committee requested for additional information. So on the 17th of March, mm-hmm. By a formal letter, we provided the information which included this. So Parliament has it, and so it's a public document.
Appreciate it. But all I'm requesting is, as you are referring to it now, and we don't have a copy. The only document I have from Parliament is the report on the Select Committee to Parliament, which was submitted as the reason for recommending the Boots deal. That does not have any of this in there.
It means you have raised questions or drawn conclusions on incomplete information. If you go to Parliament, the report is usually a summary. Mm-hmm. And therefore, a summary will not contain all the details. Other than that, it will cease to be a summary. That document is deposited in the Library of Parliament, because normally we will send 300 copies. I hope you've also had the contract document is submitted to Parliament.
We have a copy of the contract. We also have the Hansard for that day on which this document was debated. The Hansard does not mention any other documents apart from
the Hansa refers to annexes.
Yes, but those annexes are not specifically titled, so you don't know which particular documents you are looking for. So from the Hansa, we go and we ask for particular documents which are mentioned in the Hansa. That's where we interface with Parliament. We don't know what is there, and we don't have any issues.
So, Mr. Minister, I think we should interact this. Singh was asking if we can have access to the documents. If we cannot get it from here.
Yeah, I will point you to the clerk to the Committee of Mines and Energy.
But we cannot get from here.
No.
Okay, fine.
I will want you to get it from Parliament. So I'll point you to where it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, I was asking if we could interject. You said it was all right.
Yeah.
So you were at the point where you were referring to the fact that the tariff,
yes,
once we transition year 5, would be the cheapest, if not one of the cheapest on the market.
It will be the cheapest thermal tariff in the country. And that is because we have finished paying.
Thermal tariff?
Yes, thermal.
Okay.
You can't compare thermal to legacy hydro.
I was just making sure we're clear.
Yeah. Okay. So, on the issue of... And so we looked at all the options, and I'm sure when you get the document presented to Parliament, which includes, we went with an option. The option, we looked at the option to purchase, if we had the money.
Mm-hmm.
If we had the money, the option to purchase, the investment cost which we presented to Parliament would have been $247,084,000. The 220, a non-engineer like me, it's like I go to buy a generator, even a small household generator. Buying the generator will not give you power. At least you have to come, prepare a platform to install it. You need changeover switch and the other things, even at that minimal level. So when you take the cost of buying it as the cost of the project, you are understating the cost. So the document we submitted to Parliament included the auxiliary, basically the balance of plant had to be added.
Mm-hmm.
So it came to 247. And then we gave them that, look, assuming we're even going to borrow the 247 at for a tenure of 5 years at an interest rate of 9.5. We used 9.5 then because that was the yield. The yield on government debt in USD.
Mm.
Assuming we even did that, plus annual loan repayment, etc., would have ended up at $411,748,359 if we had the money, or even if we went to the market to borrow. But there is a second scenario. If you take the Eurobond yield, that comes to 10.75, and then work it is even higher, higher. But there is also a third scenario. PURC, in all their calculations on interest that they use in all their calculations, they use 15%. Because even if the government is getting 10.75, any of you, I know some of you are business people, when you go to the bank, you are not going to get, if BRA goes to the bank today, BRA will not get anything that the government, with the guarantee of the World Bank, got. So there are three scenarios I want you, when you have the documents, to look at. The conservative 9.5, which we took to Parliament, at the time, this was in March.
That gives them
411 million.
Precisely. And then we explained to the committee that, and this is an emergency project, if you go to raise 411 million today, it's not going to take you, it will take you about 6 months to come to financial closure. Again, these are not off-the-shelf items. After you've come to financial closure, if you place an order, it will take you 6 to 9 months for the plans to be delivered. So we will have essentially wasted a year plus. That does not include the time for installation. And so that was not an option. And so we looked at the second option, because initially, and we have had a number of offers, they were rental. This, the initial arrangement was a rental arrangement. So we looked at the rental, and we submitted this to the committee. When we looked at the rental, if we were to go out and rent at the going rate for 5 years, we're going to pay 471 million. Whereas the BOT was going to give us 510. So the difference between the BOT and the rental will have been $39 million.
To either own or send it back to the...
Precisely. Considering that the plant has a minimum life of 20 years, and that is only the minimum, essentially, comparing the rental option to the BOT, we'll be paying $39 extra and own the equipment for at least another 15 years.
You mean 39 million?
Yes, US. And that was why we went in for the BOT option. But there's a certain background that probably the recommendation. BRE recommended to the ministry that, look, this plant is modular, 25 megawatts each. They can be moved around the country in terms of emergency and other things. So rather than rent, why don't we go for the, in fact, they even call the BOT option. That was the recommendation. We looked at it at the ministry and it made a lot of sense. So the contract is assigned to VRA.
Which contract?
The AMERI contract. The ministry has assigned the implementation of the contract to VRA. So that also...
The implementation?
Yes.
But the ownership?
The ownership. Okay. The ownership, when it transfers to Ghana, will go to VRA. But let me add this, at least general information, not related. Every single thermal plant in Ghana operated by VRA is not owned by VRA. They don't have title to any single thermal plant. They are all owned by the government. They have the title. So this will just add to that stock. Which are the other issues?
Mr. Minister, may I just ask something?
Yeah.
What I'm hearing from you, that the reason we did the deal the way it is, one, because we don't have the cash. We didn't have the cash to make an outright purchase. We didn't have 411 million, which we could use to purchase and be done with, number one.
No. The outright purchase.
Yes.
The equipment and the balance of plants would have come to 247.
247 million.
Yes.
US.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But the other one came in because we didn't have the money, the 247 to go out and buy. Mm-hmm. The other option was to go and borrow the money.
Okay.
And so that was, if we had borrowed it over 5 years, it would have,
also, a very innocuous, almost ignorant question, but let me ask it for the record. Out there, what majority of people I have heard are saying is that we went through a middleman. with respect to securing this contract, and that if we had gone directly to the supplier,
who is the supplier?
GE.
Okay. We would have gotten this deal for less.
How do you go to GE when you don't have the money?
All right, valid question on the table.
How do you go to GE when you don't have the money?
Okay, so...
And in any case, at the appropriate time, we would also... provide some further evidence. A consortium including GE made an offer earlier for, under the GE 1000 project, there were TM25s that they were going to deploy fast track for us on a rental basis. When we looked at the cost, this was made to VRA. We have that document. We looked at the cost again on rental, and it's GE Endeavor consortium. The price, we realized that it wasn't competitive.
Okay.
But on rental, not outright purchase.
Not outright purchase.
Yes. Outright purchase, of course, would have come in cheaper.
Okay. So what I'm trying to take away from this segment that you have explained, so that we are clear, is that we couldn't afford to pay $247 million. When we looked at other options using different interest rates based on our perception of the risk of payment.
In fact, for Parliament, we used just one interest rate.
You used just one. You gave Parliament
the rate,
the 9.5%.
Yes, yes.
And that calculation came up to $411 million.
Yes.
And we didn't think that was a good option.
Yes.
Then we now know that PURC are using a 15% interest rate when they are calculating
for independent, for business independent people setting up plans.
Thermal
plans. Yeah.
So we know that now. Then the last thing that I'm also taking away is that because of the time frame, the pressure of getting this done quickly, we decided to go for this boot option because it would bring the plants on stream quicker and it would at least give us an opportunity to not have to fork out cash up front. That's my understanding of this segment.
Yes.
May I just ask, we've been borrowing money on the international circuit by issuing sovereign bonds. The last one we did was at 10.75%. It LIBOR plus a certain amount of money. Would it not have been any way cheaper to raise a separate, call it a doomsday bond, if you choose to,
I choose not to call it.
Okay, we'll come to your doomsday statement.
No, I choose not. Can you please? We speak in English. Then we are communicating in English.
Oh, doomsday is in Wikipedia now.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I want to be very exact, and that is why I make the differentiation. Tell me the difference between localized outages and load shedding in Q.
Doomsday.
No.
load is doom. Shedding is so.
Mr. Kesley Hefo.
Yes.
I am a serious.
I'm very serious as well.
No, I'm asking you for in Q.
No, Dr. Konodok, with this all
meeting, this meeting may break up on this.
On doomsday.
Then let it break up.
Yes, on this because I'm asking you to make a differentiation because I won't let this be pushed down my throat. I've challenged. Please
Dr.
listen
Dr.
to me. Listen to me. Listen to Mr. Kesley Hefo. Listen to me. I have challenged the media to give me the vernacular that distinguishes. And for those who don't know, if you have an outage in your area like we had in Tema, in the 0.5 transformers are vandalized in a single week because people want to steal the copper or drain the oil. So if you vandalize the transformer, there will definitely be an outage in that locality until ECG either replaces the transformer or repairs it. That is the That is the definition we make for localized outages.
Mm-hmm.
To this ministry, load shedding arises, it's power curtailment that arises out of a generation deficit.
Mm-hmm.
So that distinction...
But Honourable Minister, not to cut you short, I mean, before this word Doomsor got introduced into Alescon, the average Ghanaian, when the lights are out, they would say there's light off. But no, I'm coming.
Let's finish.
I'm coming.
No, let's finish.
We will finish this because you come and wait for 30 minutes. You don't even apologize when you come in late.
Excuse me.
And you're trying to bully us.
Excuse me. No one is trying to bully you.
You just as
a gentleman, how many state organizations have you written letters to? They receive it on the evening. I saw this letter yesterday in the evening. I take the phone, call him.
But that's why you're
Excuse me. How often have you gotten this?
I just want to make one point, then you please. You see, we have a very serious matter here. Please don't let Doomsor derail us. Let's leave it and deal with the issue.
But it's important that I make a certain clarification because I think that, you know, these matters, we are all patriots, you understand? And I think that going forward, some of these things we need to, even from my non-technical standpoint, I have serious issues with Greco, ECG, and VRA claiming that they are undertaking load shedding or load management. Because as far as I know, the load on the national grid is as a result of what we the consumers, you know, use. Not so.
I don't think you understand this.
Well, let me explain myself. When you are using load,
Let me tell you, load shed. For example, today I can tell you what the projected load for the country is. I can tell you that, and I can tell you what we are generating today, and then I will tell you what is projected to be unmet because of the deficit in generation. So it is not just what consumers are taking. If we put every consumer on, we wouldn't have the power to meet it. And that is why we have load shedding. So it's like we are rationing available power because of inadequacy.
Okay. I think that's not important. Let's move on. I will say this.
And we can either continue or discontinue as the minister is threatening us with, so that we are clear. The local powers for the lights going off and on is Doomsor. We have to explain to the people of this country that that is what we came to talk about, because that is at the core of the issue. We are not taking any stigma on Doomsor. We are using it as a local parlance of what people appreciate and understand. We have to explain to the people of this country that that is what we came to talk about, because that is at the core of the issue. We are not taking any stigma. Local language to be able to understand each other better. I think we're on the wrong path. and I really take offense.
That was difficult.
I really take offense to the minister. I take offense to the minister.
So, I mean, we are varied Ghanaians.
Well, be in Ghana, because that's be in Ghana, because that is what Dumso is. It's like one, like I've explained it to you.
But I'm saying that we are varied Ghanaians in this room. From different languages.
What is it? So it's not offensive.
It's not offensive to say.
Listen, I am saying this. Listen, I am saying this.
You don't have to offend.
I am saying this. Parliament, I will be blessed to make that distinction. And that is captured in the hands of Parliament.
Yes. This is our ministry.
So I can speak Gwele.
And I was
don't let us trivialize this.
It's not.
He doesn't understand
Dumso. No, I didn't say
Excuse me.
The languages are
different. It can become a term of art in Ghana, like Kalabule.
Excuse me.
Like you see 20 Kalabule women arrested.
Excuse me.
I don't speak Hausa, but
excuse me. Kalabule is not Hausa.
Well, whichever way.
Kalabule is not Hausa. Kalabule is
not Hausa. Mr. Minister, respectfully, I think the discussion is
different. Exactly. That's what I
was saying. With all due respect, if you allow Sydney to continue his submission, then we can go on. Respectfully,
I am insisting on this word Dumso because on the floor of Parliament, and it's captured in the Hands Act, I had to make that distinction. Because if you don't make that distinction, you will be held accountable for what you did not say. It's okay if people who don't know think they will generalize that every death is death. Every death be death. Every death be close eye. But you and I know that there can be nuances.
Let Sydney talk. If you decide to end the meeting, then we'll take it up from there. Okay, let's allow Sydney to talk.
So let's continue.
Please, respectfully.
Kindly continue, please.
Thank you, Senator.
Note that I make a distinction between load shedding. I want that to be on record, between load shedding and localized outages.
Sydney, please go on.
My takeaway from the segments that we just submitted, I think we've done that now, that we are asking, and my question on the table was, did we consider issuing a special bond? A special bond, and I am saying quote unquote, even if we call it a Dumso bond, which subscribers in Ghana and elsewhere would identify with, could we not have raised 247 million to be able to buy this outright? And that is the question I am asking, because the option we are taking seems to me to be rather far more expensive, and there could have been a different way.
Okay, assuming we raise the bond. The bond will come at a price. There's an interest rate on the bond. The 9.5 that was used, the interest rate,
will bring it to 411.
Yes, yes, was the yield. That was why we used a government bond yield. So it would have amounted to the same thing, the same interest rate. But more importantly, from late last year to now, the issue of sovereign guarantees, the government, even in the local grown program, as well as the IMF program, the issue of sovereign guarantees have been addressed. So that was not available.
When you say it has been addressed, you mean that we should not be raising money on international?
It was not available to the ministries and agencies.
Okay, I don't understand it, but let's leave it that way. So we take it away and we move on from there. Let's go with what you're saying, that the BOOT option appeared to be the best recommendation from the Energy Committee, which Parliament took. Now, what we just need to understand and appreciate is the the hyper media attention now is that there appears to be a padding of the cost of the project up to 510 million. And we need to understand so that we can explain clearly to other persons, how did we get to the 510 million? And is it a correct figure as it is today and as people are reading in the papers?
Well, I thought we'd spend the last 15 or 20 minutes going through that segment, showing you how the build-up. Remember, this is a budget. Any person engaged in project management, it's a budget. Until the actual outcome, you cannot be more than too exact. And I can give you instances. If you go to the Hansard, when the current presidential office was being built, I remember the chief of staff came to Parliament on a number of occasions, and people who were not in the trade kept on asking him that you said it was going to cost this much, and you've come to us twice with additional cost. And that is why in project management, you will say it's a budget. Until you really complete the project. But if the budget is prepared by professionals, the variance shouldn't be much. But it is a budget. I just want that to be
recorded. I'm confused because I thought we had a contract.
No. We are comparing... No.
You don't have a contract?
No, listen. Even in the contract, for example, the variance charge.
The variable charge.
Yes, sorry. The variable charge, for example, in the contract, mm-hmm. It is still an estimate, the 0.55 something.
Yeah.
The way PURC goes about it is that it is only at the end of the month when you produce. That is more a ceiling. And PURC will give you this explanation. At the end of the month when you produce, what is constant is the capacity charge and the fixed O&M. The variable, when you produce and submit your bill, they will cross-check that against what you claim. So what they give you is the ceiling. You cannot go beyond this. Again, if you take the tariff PURC gives, if you take fuel again is an estimate based on the day the tariff is approved. So in the industry, we say fuel is passed through. When the price of fuel drops during the month of production, PURC has a world benchmark. So they will calculate your cost of fuel against the actual. If it rises, it is the same. So in the tariff, the real fixed things are your capacity charge and your fixed O&M. That okay. is
yeah. All right, Mr. You brought in PURC quite a few times now. Can you just explain exactly what PURC's job was in this contract? Because I'm not clear now. Who is setting, I'm not clear who is actually pricing the contract, whether it's PURC or the committee in
PURC,
Parliament.
PURC was not involved in contract negotiation or contract pricing. What you do, like any IPP or producer, is that you send your feasibility, your project cost to PURC for them to give you a tariff as the regulator, the economic regulator. They will approve a tariff for you. That is about all. But you will have done your contract or done your feasibility, depending on whatever option is being used, before you submit it to PURC. So PURC's role is only as a tariff. Legally, you even negotiate and then take it to PURC for approval. So that's PURC's role.
Okay. All right. In order for us not to sleep here tonight, we think we're going to allow you to carry on and finish up.
No. You've raised QSC. If you still have a doubt,
Excuse me.
If you say in order for you to sleep, it means you still have issues
It's on the main matter, so we can go through the issues.
Okay, so you are satisfied with the QSC one. If you are not, the PURC law is also available.
I understand from what you're saying is that PURC's role in this is its normal regulatory role.
Yes.
All it is doing is either stamping the tariff, if it has been provided already, as a calculation. No. Yeah, as a calculation, you say you can do your calculation and give it to PURC, and they will then tell you whether it's acceptable or not. Am I wrong?
Say if you use the word stamping, it could be interpreted, PURC will approve. Normally, for example, if ECG was signing a power purchase agreement, ECG will negotiate with the IPP.
Mm-hmm.
They will negotiate terms, and then they will submit it to PURC for approval. If they negotiate for, let's say, 15 cents, and PURC approves 14, is the 14 that prevails.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And the other side to it is that you could give all the documentation to PURC. They will then calculate.
They
and
calculate.
Come back
That's
to
what
the
they
and say, this is the this is the tariff which we are prepared to accept.
Yes.
That's fine. Okay.
But I on our letter.
Yes.
Particularly paragraph 6 or bullet point six. This issue about Ghana being required to completely bear the commission's charges as associated with obtaining, confirming, and maintaining the LCs. Which bank provided the LC? How much have we paid by way of commission and the rest?
Well, we haven't paid for any LC as of today. We haven't paid.
No, we are saying that which bank provided the LC?
The LC, the standby LC.
Oh, if you say the standby LC, Bank of Ghana.
Okay. And they didn't charge the commission?
They tried, and it was charged against the Ministry of Power.
Of Power?
Yes.
Can you tell us how much?
Off my head, I can't tell you.
Any of your team?
You don't ask them.
I'm not asking them.
Ask me.
I'm asking
ask
you.
Ask me, off my head. You wrote
no,
to us.
I'm asking you, though.
Yes.
I said any of your team?
I said, off my head, I cannot.
Okay.
It is up to me to find out from my finance people if... Yeah, off my head, I cannot.
Okay, we take that as a no. You don't want to give us that information.
Then seven... Who bore the expense of shipping the American equipment to Ghana?
Let's not confuse. I think we are confusing two things.
Mm-hmm.
When we went to Parliament, we went to them with options. The option that we first rejected was purchasing. If we had gone by that option, if we had the money to do that, then we would have borne all these costs.
Mm-hmm.
Under the build, own, operate and transfer, we do not bear any of these costs. And it's not a cost, we only issued a security instrument. Under the contract, they will bill us, when they produce, we will pay. And this is it's normal. In almost
so
all the IPPs.
So not to cut you,
yes.
But very important. So all these costs, let's say they ship it themselves.
Yes.
It is part of.
It's part of.
It's part of the cost.
So,
yeah.
So when they begin producing,
yes.
The tariffs that have been approved for them or been approved for them or whatever, these costs that we are talking about, they are liberty mm-hmm. to use it as a basis to go for the necessary tariff charges on
no.
us.
No.
Is embedded, so they will recover that cost.
Well, it's part of their project cost. As far as we are concerned, we want power. You brought the equipment. For that reason, we are paying you an amount.
Sure, sorry, go.
Yeah, as far as we are paying you an amount, how you get the equipment here, whether you air freight it as it was done in 2007, whether it will come by ship. Whatever cost is your cost.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's built into the tariff.
That's built in.
So it's recoverable. Can we address point four? The site preparation and...
Sure. Under the contract, Ghana, and in this particular case, VRA, since we assigned this to VRA, had a responsibility of giving them a prepared site. That's all.
Okay.
So we then look for anyone who knows Abuaze and knows the site. It's a very swampy place. We had to look for a contractor who will have access to rocks to do, and this was done through VRA.
Okay.
To contract somebody to prepare the site.
Okay.
Was it the award of that contract to prepare for the creation of the site, was it put on tender?
It went through the public procurement process, approved by public procurement authority.
Oh, okay.
Was it
a sole source contract or an open tender? Because we didn't see, I don't recall seeing an open tender.
Have I said this?
No, you said it went through public procurement.
Process. And the public procurement process is not there are also forms of variations.
All right. So was it sole sourcing? Was it partial sourcing? Was it open tender?
We looked for contractors already working in the Western region in the area. We looked for the one with contractors with capability. We approached a few of them and they wouldn't touch it until we pay the mobilization fee.
Okay.
We didn't have the money to pay mobilization at the time. So
So it's in the public, it's in the public domain, as admitted by engineers and planners, that they were awarded the contract by VRA.
Yes.
And that is what happened. So engineers and planners were the people you recommended.
Yes.
And it was recommended by the ministry.
We didn't recommend. We approached 3-4 contractors. We asked VRA. Engineers and planners were the only contractors who reluctantly accepted to start work without mobilization.
Without mobilization.
Yes. And that at each stage of work, a certificate will be issued and honored. Indeed, we still owe them for their work. We still haven't honored the last set of certificates.
Maybe before we get back here, at a point in time, when we were having Dumso during the before era, VRA, with Rekubo VRA chief executive, brought in some generators. Is it true that those generators have been leased to Sierra Leone?
Could we finish this one?
Well, I couldn't.
Could we finish this one?
That's his fault.
Yeah.
How many generators? What was the number of the generators? The total.
Well, the total was about 120 megawatts.
No, the units.
That's a unit.
The units.
Sir, the single unit.
Yes. He was director from VRA.
I was also director for the project.
Yes.
At least there were 100 or more.
Yes.
A little over, because there was actually a mix. Okay. Some of them were 2.9 megawatts. Some were a little over one. You know, so there was actually a mix. That count of the number that
you don't remember.
So at least at least they exceeded 850.
Yeah.
Yes. For the purpose of this,
if you have to run them now, it's 35 cents per kilowatt hour.
Yes.
You can't run those.
So it's in Sierra Leone?
No, please. Yeah. That's why I'm asking for the number. Address the questions to me.
Sorry.
That's why I'm asking for the number. Ten have been leased to Sierra Leone out of the number. Ten. That's why the number was important.
Okay, so 10 out of about 100 and something?
I don't have the number. At least in excess of 50.
In excess of 50?
Yes.
And they are sitting down redundant? Because we can't afford to run them.
Not only that, they were never properly run even under Kufuor's regime. They were
We're not interested in the equalization.
No,
honorable. We're not interested in the equalization.
One is talking about equalization. The question was that during the 207, these were brought.
Yes.
If 207 had not been mentioned, I wouldn't mention it. So no one is interested about equalization.
We are only interested in preserving the assets of the country.
Please.
So whether it's Kufuor or it's your government, it doesn't matter.
No. You brought a specific date. Mm. If you have said this plant, this equipment, what has happened to them, that's a different thing. But when you mention a specific date,
it's
referenced to a specific administration.
Oh. Okay, so the year
is
synonymous to
a political
party. I said administration, I didn't say political party.
So 10 have gone out.
Administration.
So 10 have gone out.
10 have been leased out.
Yes. And so
and payments have been made.
And the remainder?
The remainder are here. A number of them are spoiled. A number are being rehabilitated to be brought in under picking as emergency. And the rest
some
cannot
are,
be repaired.
Some are.
But those we give to the hospitals, they are depending
on were released from Legon, but I think quite a running cost.
They cannot
I have a letter.
The
run on this. They have some. They don't
run on this.
You can very expensive.
They run on this.
Which is okay.
They are returning it. They cannot.
Interesting.
I
was going to ask that we know that ENP, in fact, ENP themselves have said that they got the contract from VRA,
yes,
for which they executed the civil works and the platform. You said there were others who were invited. Do we know the names of these others, and do we know the value of this particular project?
That question will be VRA at the appropriate time. They can't tell, because we assigned that to them, that they should get contractors. They talked to a number of them and came up that a number of them were asking for mobilization, which is the norm in the construction industry. We didn't have the money to pay mobilization as quickly as they wanted. And then they said they'd been able to speak to engineers and planners who reluctantly have accepted that in lieu of the national situation, they will do on condition that we promise to pay when their certificates are raised expeditiously.
I would have wished that this was probably in a more private setting, because I would have liked to address you as partner.
Oh, I don't.
Because at this stage, yes. I'm asking myself, I mean, are you really being open with us? You can't say that you didn't know of any of the others because VRA awarded. Surely, you would have asked the question at the time if VRA came and said, we have about 4 competing bids, but some of them are asking for mobilization, others are not. By all means, I said,
every contractor asks for mobilization. That
except,
is the starting
except
point.
No,
please listen. Every contractor asks for mobilization. But your ability to persuade or plead or beg and the one accept that, okay, I will do it, on condition that when my certificate is raised, it will be timeously paid. So nobody will come and say, I will do the work without mobilization, because the norm is to pay mobilization.
Is it fair for me to conclude that you don't want to tell us? Because I'm sure you know. You know who these other competitors are.
I don't.
You don't, seriously.
I wish if you sat here as minister and see the volume of work here, the contract we contracted it, assigned it to VRA, handle. VRA, fortunately, is 100% state-owned.
But you would have had several meetings with them before the contract was signed.
Which was?
Mr. Minister, do we have a VRA rep in this meeting?
No.
I thought the question was clear. That's it. You say that they will check with VRA.
So you get back to us on it?
So maybe.
Is there a commitment that you get back to us on that?
We would like to know. We really would like to know. This is part of our policy of a transparent government that is willing to put its books on the table and let other people also appreciate that this is what we had to go through before we selected the candidate at the end of the day. It is also particularly sensitive because we are dealing with EMP. And EMP has a connection to a president. So it's critical that at least on this particular point, there is an open book. So everybody will be clear.
At the appropriate time.
You're hedging.
I'm not hedging. Please, carefully.
Yeah, but what will be the appropriate time?
I've just told you here that it was done by VRA. I don't have the names. I've just told you that. Didn't I tell you that? So if I say at the appropriate time,
I'll drop it because that's the consensus of the team.
That's the consensus of your team.
Sorry.
It's just saying this is the consensus of your team.
The consensus of my team is that we move on. So we'll move on.
Mr. Minister, please, can we have a commitment as to you getting back to us on this information?
I will get back to the people of Ghana. I will use the appropriate medium.
So does it mean that at this meeting, you are not going to make a commitment to get back to us as to
when I make the information public, you will know.
So why did you call us here?
I didn't call you here,
Mr. Minister,
because the
you called us here to have an open, friendly conversation so you would disclose and open up to us.
Excuse me. If you have an agenda, I don't. I called you here. Let me be frank. If you have, I'm not saying the group. But if you personally have an agenda, I don't.
Mr. Minister,
I've told you I don't have the information here. When I get it, I will make it public. What is wrong with that?
Mr. Minister, you may not see anything wrong with it, but we have taken the pain to write to you. We've taken up your invitation to come and sit with you. Okay. I think when you started the meeting, you said rather than go through a lot of back and forth, you wanted us to sit on one table and discuss the issues. We've asked for some information. We understand that it's not readily available. Okay? I believe that the information definitely is available. It wouldn't take much to get a commitment from you. Okay?
Okay, let me give you this commitment. I will make that information known to the people of Ghana. Is it enough commitment?
No, it's not enough. Mr. Minister,
I am accountable to the people of Ghana, of which you are a segment, and yes. So I say I will make that information known to the people of Ghana.
Mr. Minister, respectfully, we are asking for
unless of course you are telling me you are so representative of the people of Ghana.
No, but it's not up to you to
Chief,
decide.
Chief,
can I finish?
To answer.
Okay, so what we want
to he said that what he would do is that he'll make it public to the people of
so that you will know.
Deputy Minister Jinapo,
we have our way.
Deputy Minister Jinapo, with all due respect.
We have our way of working.
Yes.
Okay, you will not tell us how we should work. We respect that if you don't give us the information, you tell us that you don't give it to us, you give it to the people of Ghana. Fine.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so it means you don't give it to us.
Yeah, we'll give it to the people of Ghana.
But you won't give it to occupy Ghana.
We won't.
No, we want it to go on record.
No, that's on record.
Recording
you are not giving it to occupy Ghana. You will
I am saying that the information is not available to
but
me today.
Fine.
Listen to me.
We are not saying today.
We are asking you to make
And I'm saying that when the information becomes available, I will make it public.
No, okay, I understand that.
Yes.
We are asking for occupy Ghana.
No, I will make it public.
So you don't make it available to occupy Ghana.
Occupy Ghana can glean it from the public. If it's a press release, if it's that,
okay.
They can.
All right.
Fine.
We take it away. Yeah. It is not coming to occupy Ghana.
In other words, if you also don't release the information
to the people of Ghana,
end of case.
Yes, not. That is why it's being recorded.
This is a private conversation or meeting we are having.
It's not a private conversation.
Now you're giving us permission to make it public, which we can go ahead.
I think you want to do right for that information.
That's going
to
come out of the
problem. Well, let us express our disappointment. We'll express our disappointment that we came here thinking that you really wanted to talk to Occupy Ghana based on the questions that we have asked you, and that we were asking for some information which you felt was necessary to talk to us, or was important to you to talk to us, because you felt it would at least move the agenda of democracy and transparency and accountability forward. But clearly, that isn't what you intend doing, because you've been a bit hedgy with some of the answers. And on this particular issue, you have said clearly that you will not be making this information available to Occupy Ghana. But we want to remind you that you are servants of the people of this country. And it is your duty to tell us the information and to give us the information as we go forward. Lawyer Anamibwa.
Oh, Doc, you're right. I was just consulting George, that when I got the signal that you have received our letter and after reading it, you requested to have a meeting with us, I was shocked. I was like, wow, I mean, then this is a different minister, because we know that other ministries will even just have banned the letter, but you have called us for a meeting. So on that score, I believe that there's a certain, can I say, rapprochement between you and us. I don't want it to be destroyed, because, I mean, when we are all out there in the public space and talking, I cannot, for example, say that Dr. Kobna Donko or his officials are like this or that, because at least when we wrote to you, you called us. That is how come me I feel that the worries that my senior
Mr. Chris Clifford has is that it appears that the confidence that we have, you see, somewhere along the line, you are dropping it, you know, in our faces. I think that communication line should still be open.
You raised a number of issues.
Yes, that's correct.
A number of them have been addressed. On a single issue.
Yeah.
If that single issue leads to generalization, that I've been.
He said exactly that.
Are they genuine people?
Well, that is, if that is a new question.
Yes, it's a new question.
I signed a contract with a company. The Bank of Ghana did due diligence. Anyone who knows how the banking system works, Bank of Ghana did due diligence. JP Morgan followed up, did due diligence. Indeed, they came here to talk to me, they talked to Bank of Ghana, they are my representatives, they came here at a meeting at Ministry of Finance, all that was done. Two, every piece of the equipment under the contract is in Ghana and being installed. Not a cent has been paid yet.
Again, it may appear that maybe I'm taking us back, but it appears that you had a number of options and choices as government or as the Ministry of Power. What is it that made you up for this option that we are discussing?
Yeah, we thought we got a good deal.
It's value for money.
Yes. And we get to own the equipment for at least 15 years. All the others were rentals.
So after 15 years, we can lose
no.
It.
You see, the equipment has a guaranteed lifespan, minimum 20 years. Even though others say 25 years, depending on how you maintain them. But after year 5, we get to own the equipment. Unless, of course, we decide to flog the equipment somewhere. But at least we own it. And this was the only offer that allowed that. So that was our justification.
Okay. Mr. Minister, we've gone through the contract.
Yes.
And we don't know whether we are missing that section. But can you please refer us to the section in the contract that says that we get to own the equipment after 5 years?
Well, I'm surprised you got through the contract and it's not.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that
yeah.
we may have missed it.
If you have a legal person, which he is. Sarah, arrange to meet him.
No, are you
no,
so
good? No. No. In this ministry, he is not a lawyer. He's a chief director.
Okay. Mr. Minister.
Yeah, the senior, yes, we'll arrange and they will show you.
Can we get before we leave this meeting, please?
No.
We cannot get the clause.
Oh, is it, excuse me?
Yes.
You want to, if you show you?
Yes.
The two of them can have a discussion.
Mr. Minister,
let them agree.
Mr. Minister, we're asking a question. Okay. The trust of this contract, when he asked you why did you go for it,
yes.
The explanation, please, can I finish talking? The explanation you gave was that it was value for money, a good deal, and at the end of the day, we get to own it. We're here. And we're saying that, excuse our ignorance, we have looked inside the contract. We haven't found that aspect of it. Okay? Can you please point us to it?
I am saying that. That is not a difficulty. It's
yes.
in the contract.
Yes.
Fortunately, a celebrated lawyer is here.
Yeah,
at least by the media. A celebrated lawyer is here.
No, you're not
here. Our legal counsel is here.
Yes.
The time now is
six.
Way past working hours, normal working hours.
For you?
Not for me, but for the system.
For the civil staff.
So, excuse me, he's here, she's there. Let them have a chat.
If he comes, if he can, if he has committed, if he has committed his counsel, we will make sure we get to the lawyer. Excuse me, you can, when you say you make sure you get it before you, it is not the right attitude.
Let the two of them meet them. If she has it in her bag and you give to her, I don't have a problem.
We will sort
I'm not going to order her to go and work beyond her official working hours. That is why I'm saying that the two of them, they are both here. Let them have a chance. If it's available today, why not? If it's tomorrow, why not?
Okay. Honorable Minister.
Must it always be on your terms?
You know, no. Yes. It must always be on our terms. Because I'm tired of it being on your terms. It has been on your terms for too long. Now we are changing. Yeah, it has been on your terms as public, as government for too long. Now we are changing the balance. It's time for the citizens also to have their
I am extremely disappointed.
Good. I'm glad you are.
Yeah, I'm extremely disappointed that if you think government must jump when you say government should jump. We will not jump.
Oh, you won't jump?
I will not jump if you say I should jump.
Because ask my employee. I will not jump.
You don't want to do what I ask. Excuse me. I am not your employee.
Taxpayers' money.
I'm not your employee.
Taxpayers' money.
I pay tax. I'm also a taxpayer.
Yes.
Yes, so I'm not your employee.
So you are playing a dual role.
Excuse me, I am not your personal employee.
Item number 8, we want some clarification on the fuel issue for operating the equipment. I have two questions. VRA is supposed to be providing all the fuel for these plants. I think that is my interpretation of it. What I need to understand is you're going to buy the gas from Atuabo. I just want to know how much is it going to cost VRA to provide the gas per kilowatt hour for the plant?
Okay. It's simple. The cost of fuel is passed through, irrespective of where it is coming from, who is contracting, it is passed through in the tariff. So it doesn't matter under the contract, and because fuel is passed through, we are providing fuel. So basically, we are not saying somebody should go and buy fuel and put a premium on it or anything. We say we will provide the fuel because it's passed through. And
VRE or as Government of Ghana?
Government of Ghana signed the contract and asked VRE to implement. So VRE is the implementing agency. Let me give you another example, not directly related, but on fuel. We had the option with CARPA. We had the option of CARPA providing their own fuel and then charging us for the cost of the fuel.
Yeah.
We decided that no, the National Oil Company should provide the fuel. So that should there be any markup, and this is a commodity traded on the world stage, should there be any markup, the benefit will inure to Ghana rather than to a foreigner. So it's
I made a mistake with the dates. It's supposed to be 16 December and I have submitted a new letter with the same content as 16 December to the secretary. I wanted to be on record. Then to my question, sir, in your press statement, you said it must be, there was this point, you said it must be explained that the quoted price of 220 million generator storage for outside purchase of similar turbines is exclusive of all other costs, such as auxiliaries, balance of plant, civil works. And the next bulletin said, under the agreement with Ameri Energy, the cost of all these auxiliary works is being borne by Ameri Energy. I want to know the difference between civil works and site preparation.
Okay. The site has been prepared. When the equipment comes in, the mounting, if they have to mount pillars for the equipment to be placed on, that was the sort of thing we're looking at.
site preparation is not civil works.
Site preparation is civil works, but there are extra civil works that mounting the equipment will require. That is what the AMERI is responsible for.
Because there wasn't any clear extension between that kind of
the site preparation is like a platform. As the Honorable said, it's a marshy area. So they had to dig out all the goods to replace this with proper material. Boulders, the graded material to a flat land. And that's what it's given to. Now, to run the plant, you need equipment. I mean, take the power from the plant. And you require breakers, you require all kinds for measuring, for protection. And you can't put it on the ground. You do concrete works. So it's all simple, but the differentiation is one is just a platform where you remove material which wasn't suitable. And graded the rocks to a ground that is suitable and give it to them. Now they have come, they have to make the other platforms, concrete wells to put the materials that you require to take the power off into the machine.
So, including the lighting, utilities, sanitary facilities, they are all separate from the civil works.
When you say lighting,
like utilities, provision of utilities, that would be the provision of sewage facilities.
Those ones they will provide. But normally, I don't know whether the utilities here, when during construction, you have to give them the power for construction. You have to give them water that they require. So, and then the site access, you have to provide light just before you enter. The rest of it will be
Chief. And they use huge amount of water. It's not bottled water. Huge amount
of water. Yes. To ensure that the material you put in there can support the vibration.
So now there's several ways that EMP
did. No, for simple this thing, EMP just have to ensure that the land is level. Any other way, AMERI, in terms of making sure that the power is
under the contract, yes, to give prepare the site, yes, for them.
Yes. So that's what we have to do. Just and you, the land you, make you it think that is a very easy thing. It's not hard.
It's all that.
Well, I mean, those who don't understand the technical
issues, they just think that
it's like a normal. It's a very difficult job.
Yeah. Okay. Honourable Minister, we don't have any more questions. So, we think at this stage, we will take away what we have been told. We are not saying that we have accepted everything you have said. There are quite a few issues with question marks that we still, even though we have said let's move on, we still don't think we have got the appropriate and all the correct answers. So, we think that unless you have any further advice to give us on this issue, we would just ask for a couple of things. First of all, we would like an official response to our letter. We accept everything that you have told us about the deal. We have to admit that we were hoping for a more open discourse. We think that we have been a little closed with some of the issues, and that only begs more questions and raises further problem. So, on our side, I think that we are very grateful for the opportunity. Egbert earlier on said that he was impressed by the fact that the response was very swift. In less than 24 hours, you were ready to meet and talk to us. And for that, we are grateful. And on behalf of Occupy Ghana, we say thank you very much for hosting us here.
Okay, thank you very much. Honourable Minister and the team from Occupy Ghana, on behalf of the Ministry of the country, this has been a very, very open, very frank discussion. I mean, though passions could raise, it tells you that it's a very, very important subject. And I'm very happy that all the issues have been raised here and dealt with. I'm sure that if we can do this, it will help all of us. So that the level of information out there, at least people can appreciate what we are doing. We've gone through the figures, gone through every item, and we've discussed it at length. And before Minister speaks, I can just assure you that the minister's doors are always open. As you rightly said, we received a letter yesterday. We have an important assignment, but because of the importance it attaches to the work you do, he had to suspend that and meet you. So he will continue to work with you. He will continue to give up his best, and you can call on us at any time that you need us. Thank you very much.
This crossfire.
I'm supposed to have been at a MEDA board meeting that started at 4 o'clock. I put that aside. I also have a group that had a 5 o'clock appointment. And they are still waiting. I put that aside. Well, I don't know what any reply, official reply, how it will be described. It will still be closed. And since this open discussion has been described as very close, KG and others, I will decide whether to respond in writing or not. But one thing I can assure you is that at the appropriate time, every issue raised, not just by Occupy Ghana, a number of groups have raised issues. We will address all the issues raised. We'll address all the issues raised. So we thank you for coming, and we will not always agree on all issues. I'll be very surprised if we did. But for some of us, Ghana means so much. For us, Ghana is not a platform onto anything. Ghana is our lives. And for that reason, in the previous past, some of us have gone to prison, have been accused of starvation.
You.
And others, yes. Just to protect this country.
I understand.
So we may not always agree on all issues, but let's know one question, the patriotism of some of us, just as we will not question your patriotism. Thank you.
Is it possible that we come to a common understanding that whatever we recorded here, we keep it to ourselves, at least because of the frankness that we had, so that nobody goes behind the other to put things on there? If you disagree, fine. I just thought that I should ask whatever can come to that common understanding.
We are accountable to the people of Ghana, as the minister has told us. So
we will put your voices on the radio.
Oh, the appropriate time, if we feel. What stops us from doing
that? No, so that we don't do that.
No.
So that we don't do that on our side.
I'm not saying that we do that.
Yeah.
Okay, but it is our prerogative. We've heard you.
Okay.
Okay, the same way as we asked for certain things and you said at the appropriate time you put it before the public. If we decide that it's appropriate for us to put it before the public, we use that discretion.
And let's also be very clear that Occupy Ghana's mission is to be totally transparent with the people of Ghana. Whatever we do, whatever we hear, whatever we know, we want to make sure that the people of Ghana are fully informed.
So we're on the same
time. Destination. Okay. No, you're not. You're asking me not to report what I've discussed.
You see, this meeting
here
is not in secret. Occupy Ghana has taken upon itself a certain mandate as being a vanguard for the people. If we do not, for example, let the public know in a certain way, not as in voice, but that, we had a meeting with Honorable Minister.
You may
find people say, Occupy for Honorable Minister for a meeting. They've compromised them. You see, they are not talking on this thing. You know, it's possible somebody can say that. It is, even when we communicate, we are all analysts and what have you in our own ways. Also, I met the minister as part of the government. This is his explanation with respect to this. You understand? I think that no, bond should be put on me or anybody when we are doing our analysis. When we met the minister, that's what he said. But I think that it's been a generally frank meeting and all. So nobody here is going to say, after all, we all recorded what took place. So there's really nothing to hide.
My only problem with recordings, and I have been a victim of this, people said, do select contact editing. That is my only. If they will play the ball, if the whole thing will be played, I don't have a problem. I've been a victim of this, and I know what editors, editorial team do.
That's actually why I raised. I didn't want to.
Let me give you an example just to close this. There was during the MPP match against load shedding. There was an interview, and then I said, look, the issues of load shedding are serious, they are national, and I don't have any objection, but these are the issues. And then at the tail end of it, and fortunately for me, there were two people from two different media houses who were being interviewed, said, oh, on the lighter side, we can say it's kid fit. They went to exercise. That became the news.
They took the lighter side out.
And took the lighter side out.
Oh, but that one there, you should expect it. When it bleeds,
they have to sell. They have to sell newspapers. For me,
so you have to make your.
For me, I have to tell you honestly, Mr. Minister, that I'm disappointed of your objection to the use of a local parlance.
Excuse me. I have said that if you supply me the appropriate vernacular to distinguish the two situations, I'm comfortable. That is all I have to say. I challenge Kwesi Pratt on this same issue on TV3 that if they will give me the appropriate vernacular.
I'm giving you. I said, boom is load, shed is salt. It's boom, so load, shed.
So what of localized
out here?
There's nothing like localized out
here. I need a light on my language.
There's nothing like localized out here.
How can doom be load?
That is my only issue. I am an aborigine of Ghana, 100% one. I'm an aborigine of Ghana, 100% one.
Yes, you are the original people.
Thank you.